Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily and these days more than daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth, and we are in Manchester for the Conservative Party conference, and we're recording this podcast from the glamour of a hotel lobby, but we can't quite yet check into our rooms. We have managed to put our
luggage down. We are so keen that we've turned up early.
So that is one thing. James, as we go into conference, there's several, I suppose, issues that Boris Johnson has to deal with or perhaps ignore for the next few days. You have the situation regarding Jennifer Aducuri, the American businesswoman. There's more in the papers today about that. You also have a situation that there could be a confidence vote as soon as this week, perhaps something Boris Johnson would want, but on paper it doesn't sound great when you're trying to focus on your message. And then you have the small issue of conference and what the Tory party are trying to get across when Parliament is sitting from tomorrow, and that means that you can't have, I suppose, the full team up here. So where do you want to kick it off?
I think in terms of conference, I think they've decided to basically prioritise this over what's going on in Parliament. I think they've essentially come to the view that they lose votes in Parliament even when they're all present and correct, and they can't afford at this point in the political cycle to surrender the platform. So Boris Johnson will do his conference speech on Wednesday lunchtime rather than facing PMQs in the House of Commons, and I understand a whole bunch of junior ministers will be left behind in London to answer UQs, urgent questions if there are any, which I think they're bound to be, but you know, the cabinet are going to be up here. And I think you see this morning in Boris Johnson's newspaper interview in Sunday Telegraph, he wants to use this conference and say, look, if we can get Brexit done, then we can do all this other domestic stuff. But obviously, as you say, there are a whole bunch of other stories out there. My personal take on the Jennifer Aducuri story is that if this turns into a story about Boris Johnson's personal life, then I don't think it is particularly problematic for him, in that I think that aspect of things is pretty baked in with voters. It's the public money question which is the problem for them. And I think the way the story has been done today in the Sunday Times probably means it's leading more towards the kind of Boris Johnson personal life stuff rather than anything more on the public funds point.
It has, however, been referred, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been referred to the police standards body, whose name I'm currently blanking on.
Criminal prosecution.
And I mean, this is the point, right? Which is, if there's the public funds angle is the problematic one for him, not the personal life one. It was interesting, I was watching him being interviewed in Andrew Marks and sitting a few feet away from him who's doing it. He didn't seem uncomfortable in a way of a man who thinks that this is about to blow up. No, he could be wrong, but he wasn't behaving like someone who a politician who feels that this is about to turn into a major scandal. And I'm struck by, when I ask senior people in Downing Street about this, how completely unconcerned they are about it. And I think if there was something to worry them, you would sense more nervousness in their voice when they're talking about it.
Now, the slogan of this year's conference is Get Brexit Done, and it touches on a few different points that the Tories want to get across. Firstly, they want to pitch themselves as the only party that can deliver Brexit, but they also don't think that people want to just hear about Brexit. So there is this idea that if you can get Brexit done, as they claim, you could start talking about domestic issues. For example, I understand that last week you had the political cabinet presentation, but also government aides in their Wednesday night meeting given a presentation on the messaging. And one of the things they were told is that if you do listen to focus groups now polling, there does seem to be this general thrust that people want Brexit done, but not because primarily they expect there to be a brilliant immediate benefit, but actually because if you can get it done, then you can start talking about other things and stop talking about Brexit. Do you think this is the message which they're trying to get across in their various policy announcements and also that Mar interview today with Boris Johnson?
Yeah, the slogan Get Brexit Done is the slogan because it's the phrase that kept coming back to them from voters in focus groups. This isn't them coming up with a phrase and focus grouping it. It's a focus group focus groups coming up with a phrase and then adopting it. And I mean, hard as it might be to believe for you and me, Katie, I think most of the public are bored of Brexit.
Right? I'm slightly worried about what it means for this podcast, but
I like to think we appeal to the niche section of the public who are not yet bored with Brexit. So I think this idea of you can get on. I mean, there was a poll finding the other day that 48% of voters, you know, didn't care how this ended as long as it ends. And I think that, you know, what Boris Johnson's best hope is that the kind of someone in Downing Street put it to me the other day, is that the nation's hive mind comes to the conclusion that the only way to get this done is, and the only way to end the dysfunction in Parliament, is to give him a majority, and then it will all, you know, then he can get it through and then the country can move on. Now, I suspect, good news for listeners of this podcast, good news for you and me, Kate, not sure everyone necessarily out there would agree, I suspect we're going to be talking about Britain's relations with the EU for at least the next decade, if not longer. So it's not going to be kind of done. But I mean, the idea is, you know, politics could return to some kind of normality. And I think, you know, you've written about the things that they want to talk about, you know, hospitals, crime, education, you know, all of that domestic agenda stuff. And also, I think this is the other point, which is, you know, you chaired those One Nation hustings during the Tory leadership election, you know. Also, in some ways, Boris Johnson's ability to unify a Tory party becomes much easier if you can get back onto this domestic agenda. Well, you know,
yeah, most it also helps, I suppose, that quite a lot of those members of the One Nation group are currently not in the Tory party. So yes, you can claim unity, you actually just push people out of the tent, or they've taken themselves out.
Yeah, I actually think, it sounds like a facetious point, but one thing I've been struck by is, after the scenes in Parliament, she's like, how unified the Tory party has remained. You know, political cabinet on Thursday night, what the nearest to criticism was Nicky Morgan talking about the own goal of the past 36 hours. Now, look, Boris Johnson did begin the meeting by admitting that, you know, essentially that, you know, he needed to do more to reassure MPs who are worried about their safety and stuff. But I think there is a, you know, seeing as we're in Manchester, it doesn't seem a totally inappropriate metaphor. I mean, there is a bit of an Alex Ferguson style siege mentality developing in the top of the Tory party. And that, you know, even members of the cabinet who wouldn't think as a natural Boris Johnson fans are basically beginning to feel like, right, everyone's against us, we've got to kind of push on and stick together. And I think, you know, I thought it was a good point by Danny Finkelstein in the Times yesterday that, kind of oddly enough, the danger for the Tories from this conference is not disunity, but the party is almost too united, that people will almost be too rah-rah in support of Boris Johnson.
You mentioned Andrew Marr interview that Boris Johnson gave today. It's been a long time since he's been on that show. And during the leadership campaign, some claimed that he was trying to dodge scrutiny by limiting his media appearances. How do you think he fared?
I thought it was classic Boris Johnson in that he came there with a message he wanted to get across, and he was just relentlessly shifting back to the message. You know, people always talk about Boris Johnson as if he's, you know, disorganized, chaotic, etc., etc. But in these kind of media interviews, he is incredibly disciplined about going back to his talking points time and time again. And I think he wanted to do three things in that interview. One, he wanted to kind of ram home his point, or his claim that the Benn Act is a kind of surrender act. The second is that he wanted to kind of tell voters, oh, look, I really want to do all this domestic stuff while Parliament bangs on about Brexit and it's got nothing new to say. And then thirdly, he wanted to say to voters, you know, the only way to get this done is to give me a majority.
And just in terms of the next day, we might have another podcast before it's out, but what can we expect?
I think you're chairing a fringe meeting at lunchtime.
Speaking, sorry,
I get that wrong.
But how the Tories can win back younger voters, and where they can.
Okay. Full details for everyone listening about where they should go?
I don't think this podcast will be up in time, but you could go to the Midland, something will be happening.
Yeah. I think this is a different conference with kind of fewer big speeches, and I think more just, and I think also a relentless focus on Boris Johnson himself. You know, I think it is striking that, you know, Boris Johnson is announcing everything himself at the moment. You know, the hospital's announcement is Boris Johnson in the Sunday Telegraph, Boris Johnson on Mar. They are trying, you know, this is going to be a very presidential campaign.
And so they tried in 2017, but this time they believe they have the right candidate to make
it work. Yeah, and they have someone who enjoys that level of attention and has the charisma and the kind of campaigning moxie, I think, to pull it off. I think that one thing that Boris Johnson will not shift on, although I think some people here might like him to, is this idea of any kind of pact with Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party. He was very explicit in ruling that out on Mar on Sunday this morning, and also I think earlier in the week he told your MPs, look, if you did this, you'd lose as much out of the other side of the boat as you gain. And I think I really do not see him shifting on that. But I think one of the, I think the question in the bars, not that we've yet managed to make it to the bar, but when we do, I think the question on everyone's lips is going to be, what happens on October the 19th? You know, I don't think realistically they are going to be able to find a way around the Benn Act. So how does politics change if there has to be an extension? I think this morning Boris Johnson was suggesting that he's not going to resign even if there has to be an extension.
Thank you, James, and we'll be back later today. And while we have you here, I'm going to put in a shameless plug for the latest Women with Balls podcast, where I'm joined by Liz Truss, the head of conference, and she talks to me about how she believes some trade deals can be signed within months, why she thinks that there is absolute cheek by Labour to criticise words such as surrender, and finally, why she is a Destiny's Child feminist. Just go to Women with Balls on the iTunes store, or you can go www.spectator.com.co.uk/balls. Thank you very much.
Best not to Google Women with Balls.